My name is Jada Lucas, reporting for WFHB. This weekend, Bloomington hosted its 42nd year of the Lotus Festival. The festival is hosted by the city, as well as the Lotus Education and Arts Foundation. Megan Hutchinson, the developmental director, says the festival is an important tool to start conversations about cultures and diversity in Bloomington. Hutchinson says there are a lot of female performers contributing to the diversity.
We're really excited to bring lots of women to the stage this year, for sure.
What are some of your favorite artists that are in the lineup this year?
Oh my goodness, that's really hard. But personally for me, I really like to dance, and so I'm very excited about five women called La Dama. They're coming to this stage Friday, Saturday, and at Lotus in the Park. I'm also really looking forward to Betsaida Machado from Venezuela. I got to see her today at Fairview Elementary School, and she had those kids dancing and singing. It was really wonderful to see.
What do you see in the future of Lotus? How do you think it's going to evolve in the future?
Well, I think that that really depends on who's involved, you know? So we're always changing and adapting based on our community, and our community is big, you know? These people that have dedicated their lives to helping us every year bring this program, and also our school program in the springtime, Blossoms, where it's a similar thing where we're bringing in these global artists into schools. And so we're really excited to, you know, welcome folks from everywhere to Bloomington and learn from each other.
My last question is, do you feel like having these different cultures specifically has a great impact on children, especially?
I definitely think so. You know, we have high school students that come to the festival, and we do a little orientation with them on, like, how to experience Lotus and the questions to ask and how to decide which artists to see and conversations around the artists that come. And with Lotus Blossoms, we're doing the same. We're working with teachers that are tying their curriculum to the performances and engagements that they have with artists, and especially in rural communities in Indiana where they might not get to see an Iraqi oud player. It's something different, and we hope that that's one piece of the puzzle that creates cultural understanding in our community.
One of the other diverse acts that was presented at the festival was Ethio jazz singer McLee. McLee's music combines both a mixture of Ethio jazz, hip-hop, rap, and even folk music.
My name is Maklit Ayele Hadero, but I go by Maklit because that's enough. I'm from Ethiopia. I was born in Addis Ababa, but I left when I was about 2 years old, and we went to Germany very briefly and then landed in D.C. And then I did, we lived 4 years in Iowa, 6 years in Brooklyn, a year in Jacksonville, Florida, 5 years in Gainesville, Florida, 4 years in New Haven, Connecticut, a summer in London, a summer in Miami, 2 years in Seattle, and now 13 years in the San Francisco Bay Area. So I like to say that where I'm from is a paragraph, not a sentence.
And do you feel like all of those places had different influences on your music?
Absolutely. I mean, really, it's the three cities that are my touchstones: Addis Ababa, Brooklyn, and San Francisco. And so those three cities are the three sides that really make up my music: Ethiopian traditional music and Ethio jazz, American jazz, and singer-songwriters, storytelling, and strum.
How would you define Ethio jazz?
Well, I think it's being redefined. You know, I think Mulatu Astatke is the godfather of Ethio jazz, and he created the genre back in the 60s. And I actually wrote this album after he and I had a conversation in 2011. And he came to a show of mine with my band in Addis Ababa, and he took me aside after the show, and he said, oh, you know, he talks really, really, really softly. And so you have to lean in to listen to him. It's a pretty cool way to have a conversation, because it engages people. So he said to me, you know, why are you playing Ethio jazz like we played it 45 years ago? He said, what's your contribution to this music? How are you going to take this music forward? You need to keep innovating. He said, Ethio jazz to him, the way that he created it, was bringing together a sense of Western harmony, which is the way that jazz music uses chords, with the sense of pentatonic music, of Ethiopia. And Ethiopia has several pentatonic scales that really make up the kind of skeletal structure of what that music is. So he said his Ethio jazz was the 12 against the 5, the 12-tone scale against the 5-tone scale. But he said, me, I could make my own contribution according to my own life and what I thought I could bring to the table. So Ethio jazz is evolving.
You can tell music is definitely a part of your life, and I wonder, how did you first get into music and realize this was your passion?
It's a funny thing because it was really about listening to my inner voice, because I always wanted to do music. And so it was a question of, like, how much was I going to allow that inner voice to lead my life? And I didn't really think it was possible when I was younger, and I saw people, like, kind of, you know, either going a really academic route where they didn't really, where they seemed to be, like, punitively practicing all the time, or not that practicing all the time is bad, like, now I do the same thing, but back then it looked like nobody wanted to do it and they were doing it. And then there was also this other thing, which was a cult of fame that people were going after, and I didn't really want to do that either. So it wasn't until I moved to the Bay Area and met all these artists who were using their artwork to deeply engage with the world around them that I said, oh, that's how I can do it, that's how I can make this in a music in a meaningful way. And from there it just took off.
According to Hutchinson, Lotus will continue to search for diverse artists for future Lotus festivals.